The title of the message, The Devil's Five-Step Plan to Destroy You and Your Family. And we're at step number three. Step number three, and that is addiction. Addiction. And we're not really focusing on the things that you might think are going to be the addictions that we would preach about this morning. There are so many addictions that can really mess us up and ruin our lives. But we're going to be talking about a different type of addiction. That is a spiritual addiction, and it's addictions of the heart. And we'll get to that here in just a little bit. But first, I want you to see these verses again, because it reminds us that there are voices in this world that are of God, and there are voices of this world that are not of God. The voices that are not of God are the spirit of Antichrist. These voices speak, and the Bible says the world hears them. They speak a spiritual message that has the power to help us or to destroy us. They speak on a heart level, and we as people, we can hear them. The Bible teaches us about the devil's devices. That's why we chose that verse for our scripture reading this morning. The devil uses devices to convey his message to our hearts. I want to read this, and you'll see where we're coming from the scripture. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world." That's these spirit voices. "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." We've read these verses several times as we've been preaching through this series. This is the fourth time I've used this passage to start the message. And what I want you to realize as we begin this message that we're entering the arena of spiritual warfare this morning. These messages are generally very challenging to preach and often very challenging to hear because these are messages about spiritual warfare. The devil doesn't want you to know his secrets. He doesn't want you to know his tactics. He doesn't want you to know how he wants to destroy your life. So I'm going to ask you to do extra, I used the wrong verb, to try extra hard to listen this morning. Because generally during this type of a message, there are extra distractions. Maybe there are distractions around us. Maybe there are distractions in your mind thinking about, I don't know, what else could be going on today? Well, I don't even care about the Super Bowl. No team that I am going for is in that. Although, it is kind of a fun game to watch. I'm not against watching it. I am 100% against the halftime show. Do not watch that. Lady Gaga is of the devil. I would say that very clearly, and I will back that up later on in this message. Not this message, in this series. I'm not preaching a message about the Super Bowl today. But the distractions that can come to your mind during a message where the Lord really wants to do work in your heart. And specifically when we're talking about this spiritual warfare, we are in a battle. We are in a spiritual battle. The battleground is your heart. Whoever wins gets influence over your heart. We've read about these spirits. There are spirits of God. There are spirits of Antichrist. These spirits have voices and they speak, and the Bible says we can hear them. But the devil's smart enough to disguise his voices so that we don't recognize them as being voices of destruction. He makes them look pleasant. Kind of like some folks would say it was an apple in the Garden of Eden. I don't know what that fruit was. My wife thinks it was a tomato because she doesn't like tomatoes. But whatever that fruit was that was growing in the Garden of Eden, it looked good. It was beautiful. The Bible says she looked at it, she saw it, she wanted it. But if she would have really known what it was going to do to her, she wouldn't have wanted it. There was a deception. There was, you could say, bait. Something got Eve to want something that was bad for her. Why would any of us want something that's bad for us? unless it's disguised. I'm going to give you just a quick review. We need to realize that your spiritual enemy uses devices of the physical world to carry his messages into your spiritual being. Now, I'm not going off weird, and I'm not being crazy, but sometimes we'll say, well, this is going to get spooky. We're not talking weird stuff. We're just talking just what's right out of the Bible. Right? I'm not going to get into any weird kind of conspiracy theories or anything like that. You just need to know that we are in a battle. There is a spiritual battle, and the battlefield is your heart. Spiritual voices speak to your heart. Step one was this. Step one was attraction. You may remember that. The devil always uses a combination of appearances and desires. He wants to get us to sin. He's going to use temptation. He's going to try to tempt us to do something wrong. The devil supplies the appearance, and our flesh supplies the desires. Eve desired that fruit, but the devil's the one that brought it to her attention and showed it to her, said, hey, why don't you take a look at this? This can make you wise. This can make you like gods, knowing good and evil. The devil tempted her with that in the form of that serpent in the Garden of Eden. Step one's attraction. You can use the word temptation. The devil has this five-step plan to destroy you. He wants to use the same plan to destroy your kids. He wants to use the same plan to destroy your family. If you're aware of it, it's going to help you to avoid it. Step one was attraction. Step two, if you remember from last week, is adaptation. Just a quick review of what that was. At first exposure, corruption goes against the heart of a Christian. Nobody is going to want to be corrupted. Nobody's heart is going to allow corruption into it without some type of a fight. At first exposure to heart-level corruption, your heart will cry out against it in shocked outrage. Eventually, God's warnings can be quenched, and you'll become more comfortable with that new sinful presence that's invading your heart. But over time, the adaptation process is complete, and you'll feel at home with the newfound influences. This is just review. We preached this last week, so I'm not going to explain all of this. We go back and I think we got a recording of this. We can pull it up, or you can listen to it online, I believe. The process of adaptation is uncomfortable at first, but eventually your conscience stops feeling what it should. First, we're tempted. We're attracted to something that's wrong. The more we allow that something that's wrong to influence us, the more we adapt to it, and the more it just becomes normal. Everybody's doing it. It seems like it's just part of life because we've had it around so long. Whenever I worked at the Boy Scout camp I mentioned last week, the ranger at the camp, he's a great guy, but he smoked like crazy. I wasn't around smoke very much before that, but I would ride in the truck with him. At the beginning of the summertime, when I'd get in the truck with him, you'd open the door and it'd be like, poof, you could just see it just leaving the door. My brother worked in the same position about 8 years after I did. And you know those little packaging bags, whenever something is mailed in a box, they put a little package of air in there. He would keep a couple of those behind the seat just in case, and you could suck on, you know, just real air. We joked about it, but he said, this is emergency air in case you need it when you're in Jack's truck. But at the beginning of the summer, it was awful, and I couldn't hardly stand it. But as I adapted to it, and as I got more used to it, it became something that didn't bother me so much over the course of the summer. For step number one, the devil used to destroy you is attraction. Step number two is, let me look at it again. I just lost it. Adaptation. You get all these letters, these words starting with the same letter, you lose it. Brother Ian told me last week, he said, I know what step three is. It's alliteration. I know where you're going with this. Step number three is addiction. Attraction, adaptation, and now addiction. This is the process the devil will use to eventually, here's another A word, ready? Annihilate you. Just destruction. The Bible doesn't use the word annihilation that I know of, but it starts with A and it works really well with the series. But destruction. His end goal is to destroy you, and he's going to attract you to these voices, the spirit voices. We talked about them, the spirit of Antichrist that speaks to this world and the world hears it. He will attract us to those voices. He'll use those voices even to attract us. And then we adapt to them. Destruction begins to happen in our heart, and corruption begins to happen in our heart. But because we are adapting to it, we don't realize what's going on until addiction happens. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, addiction. Tonight, alteration. He will change you. He wants to change you. He's going to start on the inside where nobody knows what's going on. Eventually, it'll come out to the outside. But by the time that happens, you're not very far from destruction. Addiction. I hope you listened this morning. Our verse this morning says this, 2 Corinthians 2:10, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I in the person of Christ. Can anybody tell me the key word of that verse? Forgive, forgave, one of those forms of that word. All right, so we're talking about forgiveness. But I want you to look at the very next verse. It's talking about forgiveness, how we ought to forgive others. Verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. I would think that if we're talking about satanic devices, it's going to be something really bad. But here it's something very simple, just not forgiving somebody. What we need to realize is this addiction is going to happen, and Satan has devices that he uses to get advantage of us. He uses spiritual devices, and he uses devices that we don't usually think about. Forgiveness. What would we say the opposite of forgiveness is? I'm having a tough time with that one. The opposite of forgiveness would be vengeance, revenge, I don't know, something like that. But if you don't forgive somebody, there's something that builds up inside of you. And that thing is called bitterness. If I don't forgive somebody that does something wrong to me, they were the one that did the wrong thing to me, but I don't forgive them, something starts to build up into my heart. Something starts attaching its hooks into my heart. And that thing is called bitterness. And those hooks that are attached into my heart have the power to lead me into directions that I shouldn't go. The Bible says that if we don't forgive, Satan can get advantage of us. This is one of his devices. You might not know how important forgiveness is. Forgiveness happens in your heart. So if you don't forgive, bitterness begins to grow in your heart. And Satan can use that bitterness to destroy you from the inside. Let me make a statement that you may not agree with right at the very beginning, but if you think about it, I think that you might come to the same conclusion. Bitterness can become an addiction. And I think, why would anybody? Well, bitterness is actually the one thing that keeps some people going. It helps them make it through their day. They live their life to get back at someone. They didn't forgive, and because they didn't forgive, the bitterness began to grow. And bitterness is one of the devices that the devil wants to use to begin corruption in your heart. That corruption will lead to the alteration, the change happening inside of you, and eventually your own destruction. You've heard it said, whenever you refuse to forgive somebody, it's like wrestling with a pig, right? You both get dirty and the pig likes it. You end up destroying yourself in the process. Okay, I'm going to give you a movie quote from way back when I was a kid, and you're going to understand bitterness can become an addiction. Ready? Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father, prepare to die, right? I've spent my entire life in vengeance. I used to have the movie memorized when I was a kid. Revenge. I spent my life practicing to kill them. That's not a real story, but I spent my life practicing to kill the man who killed my dad. It's bitterness. All right, so that was a really long introduction, but let me get into this. Probably the most powerful addictive device that the devil uses is not bitterness, though. There's a lot of them, but I would say in our culture and in our time, and there's been a lot of cultures and a lot of times where this would have been true. But in our culture and in our time, the most powerful device the devil uses, I believe, is music. And I want you to understand the power that music has in your heart to attract you, and you adapt to it, to addict you, eventually change you, alter you, and then to destroy you. I'm not going to preach specifically about music this morning, but as I preach this message, in the back of your mind, I'm not preaching against music. There is good music, but there is bad music. Some people say, well, music is, they use the word amoral, that it doesn't have good or bad. They'll say, well, the alphabet, the music is like the alphabet, and the alphabet's, you know, amoral. What's wrong with the letter A or the letter B or the letter C? Well, nothing's wrong with those, especially, you know, Sesame Street. Well, maybe that. But you put some letters together, you can spell some bad words, right? So maybe the letter is not immoral, but you put them together, you can get something bad out of it. Some people say, well, well, music is like colors. What could be wrong with the color red or the color yellow or blue? And, well, there's nothing wrong with those, but you put them together, you can make pictures that are evil. Music is the same way. It's not immoral. Music, one note or two notes by itself, is not right or wrong. But as you put them together, it becomes a language. It's an emotional language that speaks directly to your soul. I did a lot of research on that this week. I'm not going to spend the time on it sharing that this morning. I will come back to that, and we will spend time on it later. But that's not the purpose for this morning. I want you to understand this, that that is one of the devices that the devil uses. And let's just move on from that and talk about the addiction. And I want to help you with it. I want to help you to understand. I want to help you to recognize it. In another message, I'll show you the connections that rock music and all of the genres that come from it have to spiritism and paganism. This message is simply to help you understand the devil's process. He wants to corrupt your heart. So after the evil voices, after the voices of evil spirits attract you, they'll want to set up a stronghold in your heart. And you'll slowly adapt to their influence in your life. And once you adapt to their new influence in your life, you'll soon find yourself needing it more and more. You'll begin the process of addiction. You can become addicted to many things. You can become addicted to alcohol or drugs. Also the sinful pleasures of music or video games, movies, bad magazines. So many of them, these things we mentioned, scientists have studied it, and you can show that there's a direct connection by being involved in these things and the body's release of dopamine into your system, so your body wants it more. There's proof of that, but that's not where it ends. The danger of heart-level addiction is that it happens deep in your heart. Not just a physical addiction where your body craves something that it shouldn't. The devil's working on a heart-level addiction where your heart craves things that it shouldn't. Not just your body wanting something. Not just having a craving for something because I feel the need in my body, but your heart craving something because it feels the need. You might tell yourself it's not just an addiction, it's just enjoyment. But the more you allow the influences into your heart, the more it becomes an addiction. You want more, but you don't see that your desire is an addiction. Let me describe what an addiction is, specifically a heart-level addiction. Addiction is attraction from within. You're not going to find that definition in the dictionary because I just made it up. But let me describe it to you and see if this helps to understand it. Addiction is an attraction from within. When you're attracted without an attraction. Okay, you just lost me, Brother Rice. How can you be attracted without an attraction? Well, let me describe that a little bit more. When you're tempted without a temptation, does that help at all? No, that didn't help me at all. Okay, let's go a little further. Temptation is seeing something and wanting it. Addiction is wanting something without seeing it. Temptation's when the bait tricks you into biting the hook. Addiction is when you choose to bite the hook without the bait. Why would somebody do something that they know is destroying their life day in and day out and day in and day out, and they keep doing it and they keep doing it and they keep doing it? Why would they keep doing it if they know it's destroying them? Not because they're attracted as much anymore. Maybe they were in the beginning, but now it's because they're addicted. It's because there is a heart-level desire to do this thing or have this thing, and that is addiction. Temptation is when the desire comes from the bait. Addiction is when the desire comes from within your own heart. Just trying to help you to understand the process. What could happen? What could happen to a good young person who grows up in church, whose parents teach him what's right, but then something happens and they change? What happened? What happened? Well, often, probably most of the time, there was an influence that attracted them. They adapted to the influence, and over the time, they became addicted to that influence, and it wasn't long until their heart changed. An addiction, when the desire comes from within your own heart. You don't need something on the outside to tempt you anymore because the devil's already got the hooks inside, and he can lead you. Picture this. Picture a fishing line with a hook on the end of it. No, I'll do better than that. Picture a fishing line with a lure on the end of it that has three hooks. They're called a treble hook. And they're big and they're sharp and they're pointy and they have barbs on them. And picture that it's attached to a long fishing line and it's snagged on your heart. That hurts just thinking about that. I'm sorry, but it does. If you've ever had a fishing hook go into your skin, you know that hurts. I've done it more times. I've almost passed out trying to take them out of my own skin. I'm not good with that kind of thing. But picture this. It's attached to your heart. And there's a hook. But it's not only a hook, there's also a long string. And if the devil can put the hook in your heart, all he has to do is tug the string, and you're going to follow that desire. We'll talk about heart's desires here in just a moment, but you got to get this picture. Addiction is when the hooks from the voices, from the evil influences begin to lodge themselves in your heart. And as they lodge themselves into your heart, every one of them has a string on it, and it doesn't take very much to control you now that you've got the string on it. All right, so you've got the hooks, the devil pulls, you follow your heart. Isn't it interesting that so much of our culture says, just follow your heart? We'll have to come back to that in just a little bit. Let me give you this illustration. This might help. I'm not an expert in this field, but you've heard of this. If a mom does drugs while she's expecting her baby, my dad spent 30 years studying fetal alcohol syndrome. That's the effects of alcohol on a baby when the mother is drinking and she's pregnant. They're terrible effects that happen. What if the mom does drugs? There's a lot of times when the baby is born, it's addicted to those drugs. It has a desire within itself. It doesn't even know what the drugs are. It doesn't understand it. It can't comprehend it. It never smoked a joint. It never put an injection in its arm, but it's addicted to something from within. And that describes us whenever we allow the devil's influences into our heart. We don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to us, but we have this desire to do something. It may be wrong, and the devil can lead us, the enemy can lead us, and it doesn't make any sense. Once you allow Satan's evil influences into your heart, you open the door for spiritual addiction, and you might not even know why it's happening. You'll become confused and scared and self-destructive, and you won't even understand what's going on. You opened the door, the attraction. Now, we're going to bring this all full circle eventually. We're going to be talking about music and how the music attracts us and how it does corrupt us, and I'm going to make it very clear. I think it'll be a compelling case against the world's music. And I hope that you'll understand that the devil really does want to destroy you. And I say the devil, I hope you're not thinking, oh, he's talking make-believe stuff now. This is real. The enemy wants to destroy you, and he's going to use this step, addiction, to do it. The devil's plan is to get you to listen to the voices of the spirits of Antichrist so they can fasten their hooks in your heart and then lead you from inside your heart. They can lead you a little bit through temptation, but they can control you completely through addiction. What a difference. There's a temptation, and we'll turn our head, and we may yield to temptation. Maybe. But if the hooks are in our heart, he has control. In 2014, Vince Parker was 16 years old. His dad took away his iPod with his music in it, and he killed his mom and his dad violently because of that music. One writer said this about the addictive property of rock music: you can run, but you cannot hide. That music is following you, worming its way down into the deep parts of your heart, mind, and soul. And when it gets there, it props a door open to a world any sane person in their right mind wants nothing to do with. It's an addiction. We're born addicted to sin. We crave it. We turn to it by default. We don't need to be taught how to lie, cheat, or steal. We don't have to be taught how to lust. We naturally desire popularity because we're born addicted to the sin of pride. But there are other hooks the devil wants to get into your heart. If you allow the hooks of Satan's destructive spirits into your heart, they'll create desires even when you're away from the temptation. How does the devil get such control over so many people, even when they remove the temptation from their lives? Physical temptations are one thing, but when it's a temptation of your heart, when you remove it from your life, the devil still has the hooks in your heart, and he can still lead you, he can still control you, because he has won in this step. You don't need a temptation to get you to open your heart to more destructive voices. The addiction will get you to listen to them. You won't need a friend to give you sinful music. You'll do whatever you need to do to find it on your own. You won't be able to make it through the day without listening to your music. You'll have thoughts of hurting yourself and others that you never had before, and you don't know why. And it goes back to that. And I told you that's one of Satan's devices. I think it's one of the most powerful ones that he uses, especially in our culture. There are others as well. The world tells us to follow our heart's desire. You know, we know our heart can be a powerful influence in our life for good. And it can be a good thing. Solomon asked God to give him an understanding heart so he could be a wise leader for his people. What a great use of your heart. And not just talking about the physical heart that beats and keeps you alive, but your mind, your decision maker. Solomon said this. He prayed to God and he said, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people that I may discern between good and bad. For who's able to judge this thy so great a people?" You can use your heart for wonderful things, and it can be an influence for good, but our heart can also be powerful influence for bad. Jeremiah 17 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So where does our heart's desire come from? Where does that desire, our heart's desire, where does it come from? I want you to think about this. God will put desires in your heart if you let Him. That's what we want. We want to have a heart where God has put in the desires that we ought to have. Psalms chapter 37, verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." That doesn't mean He's going to give you everything that you want. He's going to put the desires in that you're supposed to have. So your heart can be something that you can follow the desires if you are delighting in the Lord. But I want you to understand also, evil spirits can put desires in your heart as well. I don't have to go much further than the book of Daniel. There was a king named Nebuchadnezzar, and as he would sleep, somehow dreams were being put into his mind and into his heart. He didn't understand exactly what was going on, but I'll tell you who his closest advisors were. They were soothsayers, magicians, that'd be like fortune tellers, soothsayers, magicians, astrologers. These are all people that had to do with witchcraft. When Nebuchadnezzar would have a dream, he would go to these advisors, the people involved in witchcraft, the soothsayers, the magicians, the astrologers. He would go to them and he would say, "Here's my dream, interpret it for me." And they would always interpret that dream for him, and that is how he ran his kingdom. He was following the desires put in his heart, interpreted by the magicians, by the witchcraft people. Are you following me? One day, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He came to his astrologers, his soothsayers, his magicians, and he said, "Interpret this dream for me." And they said, "We can't interpret that dream." Something had happened. Something different. Because there was a different voice that put that dream in Nebuchadnezzar's heart. This dream was a dream that God put in his heart. You may remember the story. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Listen, if you can't tell me the dream and the interpretation of the dream, I'm going to kill you all because it means you've been lying to me this whole time." They hadn't been lying to him. He just didn't know what was going on. Before, it had been the spirits of this world, the spirit of Antichrist was putting these things into his heart. But now God had put a dream into his heart. And God was the only one that can interpret it. My point in sharing that with you is this. God can put desires in your heart, but your heart is a spiritual thing. That if you allow the influences of this sinful world into your heart, those spirits of Antichrist we read about at the beginning of the message, they can put desires into your heart as well. And do you remember what the devil really wants to do with you? He wants to destroy you. God wants you to have peace. God wants you to have a productive life. He wants you to live for Him. But the devil wants to destroy you. So you can't just follow your heart. You can't just say, "I'm going to do whatever my heart says to do." You got to remember, we're in a spiritual battle. Don't follow your heart. Follow God's heart. The influences the devil brings are truly addicting. The devil's influences lodge themselves like hooks in your heart. I'll skip my story about catching myself with a fishing hook because I think we've already established that. The devil's influences begin to increase their influence and stranglehold on your inner man. The more exposure you have, the more addicted you become. The more you listen to, if it's the wrong voices, then the more influence they have in your life, and the more influence leads to more control. As you become more addicted, the influences become more powerful, and they reshape who you are. And we say, "Well, it's just music. It's just It's just bitterness. I'm just not forgiving that person. Whatever it is the devil's device, whatever one he's using on you, you can't just say, well, it's just, this is serious. This is something that has the capability of destroying your life without your knowing it. They attach themselves to the deepest part of your heart. You find yourself needing, wanting, and depending more and more on the influences, and the addiction literally begins to take control. You started allowing the influences into your life because they were tempting, but now you're allowing the influences into your life because you crave them. And every chance you get, you run to those influences to satisfy your need. You go to the website, you'll turn on the music, you go to your friend's house because your parents won't listen to it, let you listen to it at your house. The addiction's worse than any drug addiction because it's an addiction of your heart. It's not a physical. It's a spiritual addiction. Now, before I move on to the solution, we have to get through that fast. There are people here this morning who have been allowing the voices of this world to influence your heart. And if the truth be known, and I'm not going to ask you, but just think about this. If the truth be known, if I was to ask you, you'd say, I don't know. I'm just so confused right now. I just don't know. If the truth be known, there may be more people in here than you realize that have had thoughts of self-destruction. I'm amazed whenever somebody comes to me and says, or they bring their kids to me or their child to me and says, my teen has been cutting themselves. They're hurting themselves. They're talking about hurting other people. What's going on? What's causing it? Well, there's some hooks in their heart. And it looked good in the beginning, but now it's an addiction that's leading towards destruction. And no matter how much you fight it, and no matter how much you pull back against those strings with those hooks in your heart, no matter how much you pull back against them, they're so powerful and they'll just keep pulling you closer and closer to destruction. This may be you this morning. And I'm going to spend just a few moments on how to get rid of those. God wants to get rid of that in your life. He can get rid of that in your life. Go to Psalm chapter 51, if you would. Find it in your Bible, Psalm chapter 51. You need to hear this. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is step number one for you, because you can't remove these hooks from your heart yourself. Remember, it's a spiritual battle. It's got to be God that removes them. It's got to be something greater than you that removes these. And I'm going to show you how it can happen. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can do that. He will forgive your sins. He'll cleanse your heart. In fact, He'll create a new heart. That's awesome. Remove the hooks. Fix the scars, new heart. That's what can happen in your life if you'll let Him. All right, Psalm 51. God has a solution for an addicted heart. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. King David sinned a terrible sin. I believe the devil got influence in his heart and led him to do some things that were wrong, whether it was through temptation, and the temptation led to other things and other things. He committed adultery. He eventually murdered a man because of this. He didn't just murder a man. There's a list of David's top mighty men in the Bible. The man he murdered was one of his closest friends and companions. What would lead him to do something so awful? I believe it's this process that we're talking about. After that was done, David came to God. He knew he was wrong. He wanted to get right. He wanted a clean heart. He wanted a solution to this addicted heart. He came to God and he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. The solution, go to God for mercy. He loves you. He's a God of mercy. And He can erase your mistakes and sins. I can't do that. If you came to me and said, Pastor Ace, I've done all these things wrong. I can help you through it. I can counsel you. We can talk through it. But I can't forgive you. I can't give you a new heart. You've got to go to God. It's got to be between you and Him, where you said, God, I have messed up. This is what's wrong. These are the influences I have allowed. And I'm starting to see the results of them. God, I have been wrong. I ask for Your mercy. Go to God asking for mercy. Look at verse number 2. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. What an awesome thought. God can clean the addictive desires from your heart. Admit your sin to God. Ask Him to clean you. God wants to clean your heart. Wash me thoroughly. I love that word, thoroughly. It's not thoroughly, it's truly. inside and out. Wash me on the outside. If you ever try to wash out a filter, I washed out our air filter that goes to our heater. I bought one of those ones that you only have to buy once in your entire life and it lasts forever. Okay, a mistake. But the idea was you can wash it out. So I took it out and I washed one side. The other side was still dirty. I washed the other side. That side was still dirty. I had to take it all apart and spray and spray and spray and spray and spray. Still didn't get it completely clean through and through. David said to God, wash me throughly, inside and outside. God, wash my heart from mine iniquity. I admit that it's wrong. God, cleanse me from my sin. God wants to clean your heart. Look at verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Admit every addiction in your heart as soon as God shows it to you. As we preach right now, God may be showing you an addiction that's in your heart. He may be showing you some influence that you're allowing into your heart, and the hooks are starting to grapple into your heart. And as he shows that to you, every single time, as soon as he shows it to you, admit to God, yes, God, this is an addiction. It's in my heart. It's wrong. Please give me mercy. Please take it. Please remove it. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to ask him to remove it. And you're going to feel, yes, God removed that. And then tomorrow or the next day or a few days later, he's going to show you another one. There'll be another one. And day by day, as you come to God and say, God, I need your mercy. God, here's another one. I realize this is an influence. I gave up this bitterness, but now I realize there's some music I'm listening to, and then it's causing this destructive thoughts in my heart. Whatever it is, you give that to God, and it may not be long, and he comes and says to you, you know, it's your friends. And day after day, you come to God and say, God, I need your mercy. Would you remove this influence from my life? And he does, and he removes it. And every time, he shows you another influence. And every time he shows you another hook, go to God, admit it. Admit to the addiction in your heart as soon as he shows it to you. Look at verse 7. This is David, still the same prayer. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I love that word, purge. Ask God to purge you. What's that mean? God, would you remove it? God, would you remove this addiction from my heart? We're talking about heart-level addictions. But God also wants to remove those other addictions. And it's the same process. Remove these addictions. I love Brother Santiago's testimony. He's not here this morning, but he'll tell testimony of how he got saved and there were some things in his life that he was doing that were wrong, some addictive type substances. He said, I got saved, gave it to God, and I haven't touched it again in I don't know how many years it was. It's a lot of years. God can do that. But now we're talking about an addiction of the heart. We're talking how the devil's going to want to destroy you. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. God, would you remove this addiction from my heart? And then wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Ask God to purge you. Ask God to wash you. Restore your heart. You know that clean car smell again. God, would you take out the stuff that's causing the nasty smells and would you restore it the way it used to be? Purge me. Wash me. Look at verse number 10 now. I'm sorry. Verse 10. Psalm 51:10. Create in me. Oh, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You've asked him to purge you. You've asked him to wash you. You've admitted the addictions are wrong. You admitted to allowing the sinful influences in your life. Now you can go to God and say, God, would you create a new heart in me? God can remove the hooks of addiction from your heart and heal your heart. He can remove the spiritual diseases from your heart and replace those parts with a new heart. What an awesome thing. Just think about this. Every one of those hooks that is in your heart is pulling you away from God. It's pulling you away from your family. It's pulling you away from your parents. It's pulling you towards thoughts of destruction or thoughts of hopelessness or confusion. Every one of those hooks can be removed. And as the hook is removed, the string and the control is gone, the heart can be healed and created new. There was a leper in the Bible. We're going to have to be done with this. There's a leper in the Bible named Naaman. He was going to die from leprosy. Through a series of events, he ended up going to the prophet. The prophet said, go down, dunk yourself in the river. I think it was 7 times. Is that right? Does anybody remember that story? 7 times? Okay, we'll just go with that because nobody's telling me yes or no. I think it was 7 times, right? So 7 times. After the seventh time he came out, and the Bible said that his leprous skin that was falling off with rot, that seventh time he came up and his skin was fresh like a newborn baby. If God can do that to a leper's skin, what can he do? He wants to cleanse you. He wants to remove those hooks. He wants to give you a new heart and a new start. Would you let him do that? Father, thank you for letting us spend this time in your word today. Lord, I know because of the culture we live in, that many people here this morning are struggling with hooks in their heart. Their addictions, they started just as an attraction to something that looked good, but I know because of the music that our culture listens to, the rebellion and so much that it puts into our heart, the hatred, the bitterness. Lord, I know that this morning we need you to cleanse our hearts. Lord, we need you to purge our hearts. We need you to wash our hearts. And Lord, we need a new heart. So many here this morning in bondage. Lord, there's folks here this morning that have passed this step and they're at the place where they're being altered. The enemy's changing them from the inside. They're not who they used to be, that joyful Christian they used to be. God, there's something in there that needs to be removed. And Lord, I pray that this morning in their heart, they would open it up and say, God, would you take out anything that doesn't belong? Purge me, wash me. Create a new heart in me.